Pass the Potatoes is produced at GLB Studios. Welcome to Pass the Potatoes podcast, also a dinner conversation between two sisters. My name is Jody and I am a nurse. Last year, I was able to successfully lose about 40 pounds and maintain it just through some changes in the way that I think about food, exercise, wellness. And I'm here to share all that. We're not selling anything. There's no special diet. So enjoy.
And I'm Gina. I'm Jody's sister, and I'm here to provide some input from a mental health standpoint. I'm a therapist. I also have struggled with my weight for my entire life. I recently lost 80 pounds, and then I gained it back. What's interesting to me is how our thoughts and our behavior and our habits have such a strong influence on our overall wellness. Thanks for listening.
Pass those potatoes.
My potatoes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, are we feeling rusty?
Yeah, definitely.
You're not used to talking to me.
No. Your name is...
Right.
Who are you?
Right. All right, so I always start with so. I don't know why I say that. All right. We are on season 2.
Yay!
Yay! Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to season 1.
Absolutely. We've so enjoyed doing this together.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of gear up in the spring and then we waver off in the fall. But people still, I get emails every week mm-hmm. that people are still listening to our episode. So sometimes maybe people need a chance to get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of take a break during the holidays and all of that. So
yeah.
We are ready for season 2.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it truly actually follows a lot of people who are looking at their own eating and, you know, life patterns. A lot of people gear up in the spring and have all these goals for themselves, and then they sort of peter out by the end of the year.
By Halloween.
It's like, I'm just going to eat all the candy.
All the candy, and then mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, and then Christmas,
right,
and then
New Year's. If I don't want to start anything now, because I've got the holidays. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Basically, yeah. After Labor Day, it's a wash. Yeah. The rest of the year is a wash.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then spring break is looming, and so, yeah. And summer, and then people get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
I do that a little bit. I probably put on a little bit of weight in the wintertime, I yeah. must admit, mm-hmm. because I'm wearing sweatpants and baggy clothes, and not baggy clothes, but layers.
Right. It's definitely the season of wanting to stay in. I know I'm far less active mm-hmm. in the wintertime than I am during the spring and summer months.
Oh, yeah.
Just naturally, my children want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
They're involved. The sports that they're in are more spring and summer-based sports.
Right.
We are outside a lot more, moving around a lot more, versus in the winter, it's very natural to just be sitting on the couch under a blanket.
Right.
So
I gave our mom some puzzles, and she said, oh, great. And I bought a new one. And she said, well, but I only do puzzles in the wintertime.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I'm the same way mm-hmm. because in the summer, I don't want to sit around and do a puzzle. I want to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pool, and I want to swim, and mm-hmm. I'm more like, you know, out in the garden and doing right. yard work and things like that for sure.
Right. But absolutely.
In the winter, it's like, well, I guess I'll just put my pajamas on at 5 p.m. when it gets dark
mm-hmm.
and do a puzzle.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I'm more likely to eat hot foods in the winter, which means I'm preparing more foods and making myself more things, versus in the summer, I'm much more likely to grab something cold like fruits or mm-hmm. vegetables. So I think it does impact my eating as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So
I find if I'm outside, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm obsessed with the show Survivor. Mm-hmm. I have recorded auditions for Survivor.
Did you submit those?
Oh, yes. I would love to be picked. To be yeah. on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like because they're aside on the beach, I'm sure they're still very hungry. but there's something about being outside that I'm less hungry when I'm outside.
Okay.
I feel like my brain is just more stimulated maybe, so I don't have as much boredom eating or snacking. Plus, I'd have to go inside to get the food.
Right.
So I just tend to eat less if I'm outside doing stuff.
Right.
Just naturally.
I do the same. You know, I have this pattern of in the spring and in the summer, when my kids get home from school, a lot of times we'll just be outside. You know, but yeah, when I'm outside, I'm definitely much more. And if I do bring something outside to eat, like if I'm like, oh, I'm starving or I need to really eat something, it's usually something.
It's not a pot of spaghetti.
No, it's not like a pot pie or a big bowl of soup. No. It's usually,
Hey, throw the ball to me.
Yeah, hold on.
Let me eat this meatloaf real quick.
Yes.
Right, it's something quick and easy. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hadn't thought about that. This is why I think it's great that we do this podcast together, because you always bring in the kind of the mental, emotional side of things that maybe I hadn't thought about. But yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Well, and I'm just really smart. So
you are.
That's really what it's about.
Yes. All right. So today I really want to talk, I want to revisit kind of this concept of really the key to weight loss.
Okay.
Do you want to know it?
Yes.
Okay.
No, no, I don't. I'm not interested. Pass.
Okay. So the key to weight loss is really, how do I lose fat in a way that I'm not going to tank my metabolism and I'm not just going to lose water? But how do I lose fat? And the way to do that is to understand how sugar works in your body.
Okay.
Now, we've already done an episode on sugar.
Correct.
So if you haven't listened to it, it's called, it's not fat that makes you fat, it's sugar. And that was more about what sugar does to your brain and how it's very addicting and things like that. But I feel like it needs a part two, because I want to talk about how to apply these concepts to your life and give people some real tips on how to understand how sugar works and how to make it work for you.
Right.
Okay. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Okay. Sugar. We kind of touched, we did touch upon this in the early, but just to review, when I say sugar, what do you think of?
Candy.
Okay.
Sweets.
Bingo, right? You think of that white granular sugar, sucrose, that you see in the bag.
Right.
Right? Sugar. But sugar is in dairy products in the form of lactose. So it's a form of that sugar. It's in fruit in the form of fructose. So it's a form of that. It's in syrups and other things in the form of maltose. So there's lots of different types of sugar. And what your body will do is it will break it down to the simplest form, which is sucrose. So if you eat a spoonful of sugar or a spoonful of honey, your body will eventually turn all that into that spoonful of sugar. The spoonful of sugar, though, it doesn't have to do any work. The spoonful of honey, it has to do a little bit to turn it into something.
Okay.
Okay, so if I were to say which one's better for you, it's the one that your body has to do a little work.
Okay.
So the honey is better than the sugar.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Because your body has to do burn some calories to do something with this.
All right.
Carbohydrates is just complex sugar. So your body has to break them down and eventually it will turn it into sugar.
Okay. Right.
So are we on the same page here?
I believe so.
Okay. So eventually it gets into sucrose. It's in your digestive system, your GI tract.
Okay.
And then once it's broken down into plain old sugar, it goes into your blood vessels. When it's in your blood vessels, it's very, very
damaging to your blood vessels.
Okay.
It can damage the walls. Sugar can. It's almost like sandpaper.
Okay.
It can damage your blood vessels, your hemoglobin, your red blood cells, your white blood cells. That's why when you go to the doctor and you get what's called the A1C, they are testing how much damage your hemoglobin has incurred due to sugar. That's what that test does.
Okay.
So it's how much sugar is in your blood. It can damage the vessels in your brain.
Okay.
It's very caustic. So what the body wants to do is push it into the cell.
As fast as possible.
As fast as possible, right? Get it out of the blood vessel because it's not good, right? The cell uses it via the mitochondria. And when we were in school in America, they teach us the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Did you ever learn that?
I thought it was the nucleus.
The nucleus is the like the brain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So the mitochondria uses the sugar and it says, yep, come on in, I need ya. Okay? Insulin opens the door of the cell.
Okay.
And that's how you move sugar into the cell.
Okay.
If the cells are full, the liver can store a little bit of sugar. And so the body is like, hey, liver, can you take some of this sugar so it's not damaging my blood vessels? And the liver says, I can take a little bit because the liver is busy. The liver does 500 things. One of the things is to store a little bit of sugar.
Okay.
But it can't do a lot. Another thing is your muscles can burn it if your muscles are moving.
Okay.
So if you're walking, doing laundry, you know, doing dancing around your house, doing yard work, whatever it might be, your muscles are like, hey, we'll take some. We'll take some of the sugar and we'll burn it for you. You're like, great. But then you reach an end of the road where the cells are full, the muscles aren't moving, or they've used as much as they can in the liver. So then it can't just sit in the blood vessels. Your body, if you're lucky, if you're lucky, your body can turn sugar into fat.
Okay.
If you're lucky.
Okay.
We're very lucky.
Okay.
Because.
Yeah.
We can store fat, right?
Okay. Okay. Why doesn't it just get rid of it?
It can't. Those are the ways that it gets rid of it.
Okay.
It goes into the cell to be burned. It's stored in the liver. Your muscles can burn it. Or it has to turn it into fat.
Okay.
If you're lucky. If you're one of the lucky ones that can store fat on your body.
Right. What if you're not?
You become diabetic.
Oh, okay.
That's why a lot of the really, like, what they call brittle diabetics or, like, severe diabetics are often very thin people because they can't really turn sugar into fat very well.
Okay.
They're very thin.
Yes.
So we're lucky because we can hold a lot of fat on these bodies.
Yes.
We're chosen.
Well, I am blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Too blessed to be stressed.
Yes.
Right? Well, so I like to think of it as a movie theater.
Okay.
And the sugar is the people moving into the theater. And the actual theaters where the movies are happening, you worked in the theater.
I can picture this.
Okay. One, two, three, four, you know, this is showing in these theaters. The whole building is the movie theater, but there's little theaters where the actual movies are showing.
Right.
We're trying to get people in there, right? We're trying to move sugar into the cells.
Right.
So if they don't get in to see their movie, they're going to be mad and tear up the movie theater.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The usher is insulin. The usher's like, let me take your ticket, go. Take your ticket, go. Move, 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 move. If you have too much sugar in your blood vessel and the cells are full and your liver's full and your muscles aren't moving, your body will make more insulin. And so now you've got more people taking tickets. But if the theater's full, it's full. You know what I mean? Like, so having extra people tearing tickets isn't going to change the fact that the theater is full.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like if the door's already open, you don't need another person to open the door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what we do because the brain thinks, well, maybe I just need to move these people in faster, you know? And that's type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Because
you've got too many ushers moving around, and now they're actually the problem.
Right.
The problem is not getting people in. The problem is the theater is full, and now you've got all these ushers that are making problems.
Okay.
Okay? The liver is almost like, well, we can't do anything with you. Why don't you guys go and stay in this hotel?
Yes.
And maybe watch something on TV there. But only four of you, right? Yeah. We only have room for one, for two rooms over there, right? It's very limited. So here's what you can do. If you know this, don't eat as much sugar.
Okay.
Which, okay.
Sure.
Right? It's very addicting. Even carbohydrates are addicting.
Right.
Like, try to eat one French fry.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yes.
So, I mean, I got these, side note, thin mint flavored pretzels.
Okay.
They're chocolate pretzels flavored in thin mint. I've never had them before, so I was going to try one. Because I always think, if I've never had it before, I'm going to try it. I had one, and I end up eating like 10 of them. Because that's what how sugar works.
Right.
But same with chips and pretzels. I mean, it's just so addicting. So it's hard to say, just don't eat it.
Right.
But what you want to do is, if you can, try to eat carbs, fruit, then sugar. Like dairy, carb. The sugar that your body has to work to convert it.
Like in that order, or if kind you of. Have to.
If you have to. Like
eat this.
Yes.
Okay.
Eat like really complex carbohydrates like wheat bread.
Okay.
Versus white bread, which is just kind of like sugar.
Okay.
Because then your body has to do some work. Like, maybe people have to work to find a parking spot before they come into the theater. It slows things down.
Okay.
Okay? It slows down the traffic.
Okay.
A second thing you can do is, after you eat, move your body.
Okay.
Because then your muscles are going to burn some of that sugar for you.
Okay.
And then you won't store it as fat. Eat, like, a minimum amount of sugar. Because if you don't have people going into the movie theater, your mitochondria says, hey, I need energy, and you have to convert fat back into sugar.
Okay.
You have to do the reverse.
Okay.
And that's how you burn fat.
Okay.
Is you limit your carbs, limit your fruits, limit your dairy, and hardly ever eat processed sugar.
Okay.
And we talked about that in that episode, but I don't know if people understand why.
Okay.
Easier said than done, right?
Right.
So if that's kind of hard for you, there's something else you can do, which is what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
So if you can limit your carbohydrates, your fruits, your dairy, and especially your refined sugar, like your cookies and stuff like that, the more you can do that, the better, because then you have to use your fat for energy.
Okay.
But if you do nothing else, the order that you eat your food is very important.
Okay.
Have you ever heard this?
No.
So, what you want to do is you always want to eat your vegetables first.
Okay.
Because your vegetables actually make it hard for your GI system to move sugar out.
Okay.
Your vegetables are very protective of you. We always hear vegetables are really good for you, but we don't really know why. They're actually extremely good for you because they protect you from excess sugar.
Okay.
So if you eat vegetables first, they kind of like don't let people into the theaters quickly.
Okay.
Okay. So they kind of help
like
you.
Like they're doing a magic show in the lobby. So people are like.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot.
It's a carnival in the parking lot.
So people are like, well, I'll get to that movie when I can, but I'm really interested in what's happening here.
I like that you're like latching onto my analogy.
Okay.
I mean, you worked at a movie theater.
I'm just like picturing it in my mind. But
yeah. So the vegetables are out there juggling.
Yes.
And they are saying, slow down, slow down. And your body has to burn them first. Like it takes a long time to, it's occupied with that. Then eat your protein. Because your protein also gives the body a lot to do. So then it's like, okay, we'll get to that sugar later. we've got to deal with these vegetables and this meat first, and that's going to take a lot of time.
Right.
Okay. So some of the sugar may not even get in your bloodstream.
Okay.
Because your body's too busy burning your other stuff.
Okay.
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 Fats.
Yeah.
Then eat your carbs, your dairy, your fruit, then your sugar.
Okay.
And this is how, like, think about how our grandparents ate. They ate a salad, then they had their meat and their veggies and maybe a little bit of carbohydrate. And when did they eat their dessert?
After?
Last. Yeah.
Isn't that how everybody eats, though, usually?
Well, how do you eat breakfast? Do you eat a donut first off? Sometimes.
Maybe.
I know I do. When you go to get an appetizer at a restaurant, is it a pretzel or is it, you know what I mean? Like, or is it a vegetable?
Yeah.
Like, if you eat your salad first, then your meat, then your kind of your complex carbohydrates, then you eat your dessert last. If you do nothing else, if you eat in that order, it will help your body manage that movie theater.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think breakfast is the hardest because what kind of vegetable am I going to eat at breakfast?
Right.
Like, I might eat an omelet with some tomato or some spinach in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing, though, is to try to eat proteins first.
Right.
So maybe eat an egg or something like that first.
Mm-hmm.
Or who says you have to eat breakfast food at breakfast?
Right.
Maybe you just eat regular food at breakfast.
Right.
And, so last night we had shepherd's pie. So it's all mixed together. Now, am I going to pick all the vegetables out and eat those first? No.
Yeah.
So I ate the vegetables and the meat and the mashed potatoes all together, but it's still better than just eating mashed potatoes.
Okay.
So if you can do nothing else, it's like add vegetables and protein to your diet.
Okay.
If you can eat them in that order, great. But worst case, throw it all in a casserole.
Mm-hmm.
But just add more of it.
Okay.
It's and it's not keto either. It's not that I never have carbs. Like I told you last night, I had shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm.
But it had vegetables in it. It had meat. It had fat.
It had shepherds.
It did. It was made of real shepherds. I ate their bones. Oh my God. Cottage pie. Their little hook. I chewed on that first. The wood. My body's like, well, this is going to take forever to burn. Good Lord. Just get that sugar out of here. Don't even put it in the blood vessels. No, but if I can't do the order, like I said, then I just mix it all together.
Right.
You know, if worst case, let's say I have lasagna. I have like a healthy noodle that I'll substitute in that's like a soy-based noodle. So if we're eating spaghetti, I'll eat that. But I will eat a salad first.
Yeah.
Even if my family doesn't want it. And usually they like salads. But I'll try to eat a vegetable first. And if we get an appetizer, I want like a vegetable-based appetizer.
Right.
Or I just won't eat it.
Right.
Or I'll wait. So if we go out and let's say we get calamari or something, okay, so it's meat, breaded meat.
Right.
Basically. If I haven't eaten my vegetable first, I'll just wait.
Right.
And then when my meal comes, I'll eat my vegetable, my meat, and then if I want to pick at that appetizer or whatever, and if I want a dessert, then's the time to eat it. But a lot of times by that time I'm full.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Okay.
So, I'm just sitting here thinking about...
I've done a lot of talking.
Yes. I feel like I need to talk more.
Right. Okay.
This
All
is
right.
my chance.
So, this is Gina now reflecting...
This is Gina reflecting on
what nerdy
Jody's
Jody...
diatribe about sugar. Her monologue about sugar.
Very much so. Yeah.
I do believe that we tend to eat... out of habit and we get into habits of eating certain types of foods at certain times of the day, and a lot of people will pack a lunch for themselves and it's the same thing every day. They'll eat the same breakfast, you know, dinner might have some variety, but the order that you eat, you know, unless you're eating a separate salad, a lot of times at like a dinner you make at home usually has a plate with meat and potatoes and vegetables, typically. Mm-hmm. Maybe a fruit there too, but like applesauce, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will dive into the carb first, maybe the meat first. Mm-hmm. But to remind ourselves that the order in which we eat is it's a good reminder, because I think a lot of times when we approach healthy eating, we picture ourselves just eliminating like every food group that I like. Mm-hmm. And this isn't necessarily the issue. The issue is the kind of foods and how you're eating them. Mm-hmm. And again, the portion.
The portion. Mm-hmm. But if you eat a salad or fill up on vegetables, and I'm really big on big volume, low carb, low calorie food. Mm-hmm. Big volume, low calorie.
Yeah.
So I like to eat cauliflower rice. Now, it's not for everybody, mm-hmm. but I can eat a huge bowl of it and it's 60 calories.
Right.
So I like to feel like I'm eating a large amount of food for not a lot of calories.
Yeah.
I like broccoli and Brussels sprouts because they're big. Mm-hmm. You know, they're big foods to yeah. me.
Do you ever eat edamame?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So I have, there's a lot of salads that I've been trying that involve just a lot of different vegetables and processing, like, some of the vegetables actually like putting it in the blender and adding like edamame is one of them. And like maybe a little bit of like juice or like lemon juice or something. And then that becomes your dressing because we tend to, it's one thing to say I'm eating a salad, but if it's just a little bit of lettuce and a whole bunch of meat and cheese and eggs
and croutons
and a huge thing of ranch,
right?
I'm not really eating a salad. I'm right. eating some lettuce with all this other yes. food on top of it.
There's some sugar because salad dressing has sugar in it.
Yes.
You know, that's the problem with, like, I eat a sugar-free, calorie-free dressing from Walden Farms, and it's made from vinegar. Mm-hmm. Vinegar is actually really good for, you know, helping you burn sugar as well. Mm-hmm. Vinegar really helps your body digest things. Now, most people don't like the taste of vinegar. So how do you slip that in?
Is that the whole apple cider yep. vinegar and why people yep. drink all of that?
And it really does work. Mm-hmm. It really does work. But a lot of people don't like the taste of it.
Right.
So what I do is I buy this Walden Farm. Again, we're not paid by them. They're not our sponsor. I wish I would eat a case of it. But it's fat-free, sugar-free, calorie-free dressing that is just vinegar and like different seasonings in it to taste like different things. Mm-hmm. Or like if you go to a restaurant, get like the Italian or now balsamic has some sugar in it. So that's, you know, kind of defeats the purpose a little bit.
Right.
But vinegar is very helpful in this whole sugar
right.
factory, like movie theater issue.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you know, do you remember when we were kids and mom would make cooked spinach with, and it would be vinegar in it? And at first, it seemed like it was going to taste disgusting, but I loved it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it very much. I can see by your reaction.
No, and I'll tell you, when people get fish and chips and they douse it in vinegar, and then the whole restaurant smells like
right
vinegar. Mm-hmm. I am not a fan.
Yeah. We use vinegar to clean a lot. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that will be confusing because when you smell it, it depends on what you associate it with. Like yeah. I often associate it with cleaning products. Mm-hmm. So
you're like eating it.
Right. I'm like, am I eating like some, you know,
Windex?
Yeah. But I do like the vinegar and cooked spinach that together. Mm-hmm. And
so
kale.
That's a perfect yeah. meal because you're getting your vinegar and you're eating your vegetables up front.
Right.
So you've got the whole circus out in front of the movie theater.
Right.
Preventing people from gumming up the theaters.
Yeah.
If you think about it this way. And, you know, at work,
I work with people and they're like, oh, I don't want to eat any sugar. It's like, oh, well, that's good, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to eat it after you've eaten everything else.
Right.
Because then your body is too busy doing other things.
Right.
And taking 15 minutes after you eat to just move your body. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking like rigorous exercise, because that actually is worse mm-hmm. after you eat, because then digestion comes to a halt.
Right.
So you don't want to like eat a sandwich and go for a run.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about just moving your muscles, like going up and down the stairs, doing some laundry, like mm-hmm. even cleaning up your kitchen
mm-hmm.
is moving your muscles. Like
right.
think about what your grandparents did. We ate and then they cleaned their kitchen and mm-hmm. they moved their muscles, and then maybe they took a walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what your body's meant to do.
Right.
To help you use that sugar.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And these are good reminders, because we tend to approach weight loss with such an all or nothing mindset.
Yeah.
And we start out with all, you know, I'm going to do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drink gallons of water. I'm going to not ever eat any sugar.
Right.
I'm going to only eat this style of food. So I'm going to intermittently fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to work out so intensely. But we burn out on that.
Right.
Because a lot of times those intense goals, for most people, are not very sustainable.
Right.
Because we tend to seek out comfort. Mm-hmm. Our bodies naturally, our brains naturally, we want to feel comfortable physically mm-hmm. and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that intense time period, unless I love it
mm-hmm.
and have allowed it to become part of my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I am someone that eats this way. I'm a runner.
I'm a runner.
I'm a vegan. I'm mm-hmm. a vegetarian. And it becomes who I am, and I have the whole gear and a bumper sticker on my car, and I follow every kind of Instagram and podcast about uh-huh. it. Then, you know, I may be able to sustain it if I find comfort within it. If I find a lot of joy within it.
And there's a tribe. A lot of times it's very mm-hmm. cultural, so I need other people doing it
with
me.
Right, right. I have that kind of support.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I typically don't fight a battle alone. If I fight a battle alone, I'm probably going to lose.
Yeah.
And so compared to what typically happens is I'm really gung-ho, but I'm pretty miserable during it.
Right.
I spend some time dreading it. I spend some time thinking my way around, how can I, you know, can I have a cheat day? Can I have a cheat meal? Can I have a day off? I'm going to talk myself out of mm-hmm. working out or moving my body. I'm going to pick up this extra treat because I'm going to see certain unhealthy foods and inactivity as rewards for myself, mm-hmm. which I'm inadvertently telling myself, you know, that those things are punishments. And so to reward yourself, you don't move your body mm-hmm. and you eat very unhealthy foods.
So exercise and healthy eating is like a punishment.
Right. And that if that's sort of how I'm seeing it, if mm-hmm. And I'm more likely to see it that way if I'm really overdoing it.
Yes.
Then if I allow it to become part of my lifestyle
mm-hmm.
and find that gray area, because yes. what happens is when I find, I will eventually talk myself out of doing it at all. And I will completely revert back to my typical eating and, you know, exercise patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll complain that nothing works for me. And I'll want to click on all of those ads that say, you know, lose 70 pounds in 60 mm-hmm. days. Mm-hmm. And I'll think, well, that sounds great. And don't have to exercise.
Right.
But it's basically, I've followed the click on some of those just out of curiosity. And a lot of them involve, you know, putting a lot of substances in your body. Which haven't been tested by the FDA. It's hard to know what you're actually putting in your body. Most of them are about a calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And one was, you know, eats like 1,300 calories or lower on a day.
Really low.
One day, and then totally fasts the next day.
Oh, God.
And then eats 1,300 calories and then fasts. And I thought, well, you might lose weight, but at what cost?
Right.
And it seemed very dangerous.
Yes.
And I kept thinking that most people would probably try it because I could probably do that short term, you know?
Right. And the comfort is the reward.
Right.
So if I feel like I can be miserable because I get a reward and that's my comfort, mm-hmm. because we're comfort based,
right.
then I want to see the numbers on the scale. But then once I see the numbers on the scale, then how do I maintain that? A lot of people feel like losing weight isn't hard. It's maintaining a weight loss that's hard.
Right.
Because I don't want to live that life mm-hmm. forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it for a short amount of time and then mm-hmm. go back to quote unquote normal.
Right.
We think we can be so smart with our calories.
Right.
We think, oh, my body burns 2,000 calories a day, so I'm just going to eat 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, oh, my body's like, oh, what do I do?
Right.
Your body just down regulates to now I burn 1,500 calories a day. Like mm-hmm. your body is so smart that you want to be in a little bit of a caloric deficit, but you don't want to starve yourself ever, mm-hmm. ever, mm-hmm. because your body doesn't like that. Really, the best way to lose weight is to think about what you eat
mm-hmm.
and not eat a ton of sugar because your body needs fuel. So what kind of fuel are you putting into your body? Your body needs fuel to run. So if I put vegetables and meat in my body, eventually my body is going to tap into my body fat for extra fuel.
Right.
I mean, it's just, if you think about that whole, how sugar works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also protecting my body by not having a ton of sugar in my blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we ever take someone's blood sugar and it's like really sky high, we're like, oh my God, they can stroke
mm-hmm.
because those blood vessels can become damaged in the brain. Mm-hmm. They can have a brain bleed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually are saying that Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes.
I've seen that. I've seen some early research about that.
I have too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where it's just too much sugar. And you think about like the people who, a lot of times they're thin,
right?
You know,
like, and I think about our grandma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the luxury of having extra body fat on their body.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. really we're lucky if we mm-hmm. can store body fat because it's our body's way of protecting our brain.
Right.
But we want to tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cultures and any other time in the world, having extra body fat was good for you.
Right.
It meant that you could live through a famine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just now that we're in a culture where we want to be thin. But I wouldn't even say that. I would just say that we want to be at a healthy weight for our body.
Right.
We don't want to put extra weight on our joints. We've talked about our BMI before being mm-hmm. in a healthy range. So I'm not
right.
talking about being stick thin and being like a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying be healthy for our bodies and have the appropriate amount of body fat stored on our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to dip into anything extra is try to cut down on your carbs, your fruits, your dairy, you know, have maybe one or two servings a day. And they're very addictive, so it's mm-hmm. hard to do that.
Right.
Maybe pick dairy over carbs.
Yeah.
And think about the order that you eat things.
Okay.
And if you want dessert, the time to have dessert is after you've eaten your vegetables.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I mean, because that all or nothing mentality of I can never have it ever again,
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
It is hard. We really struggle with forever and never again,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think a lot of us, there's an appeal of a short-term intense weight loss
mm-hmm.
because I can see the finish line. The reward is usually a change on the scale or a change in my measurements. And it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it right away. I get immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the appeal of those things. But we cannot sustain those.
And I think the thing about maintenance, this episode's going to get kind of long, but we can wrap it up here whenever. But I think the key to maintenance is you have to have faith in the fact that if you make these small changes and eat more meats and vegetables and get full on those things, mm-hmm. your mind and your body will change and you will be different down the road. You won't be the same person with the same cravings, mm-hmm. the same hunger.
Right.
That your body will change with you. So you have to believe, too, that you will change mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be as hard of a fight once you get to that maintenance stage if you do it the right way.
Right. Absolutely.
Great.
Okay.
Yay.
Always educating me on how my body works.
Thanks for always educating me on how my mind works.
Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Don't say that. I hate when they say that at Chick-fil-A.
Like, it's my pleasure. It's like, that seems personal.
Well, I will not say thank you to them.
Really?
I won't.
So that they don't say my pleasure back to you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never say thank you to them. You know what I say?
What?
I don't thank you.
I don't thank you. I opposite of thank you.
No.
I curse you.
What I say is, have a nice day.
What do they say back? Nothing. Do they have to consult the manual?
The robot starts smoking.
Right. They're like, we don't know what to say.
What? Does not compute.
Right.
No, it takes them aback, but then they say, oh, you have a nice day too. And it's a genuine response.
Yeah. Maybe. A life hack right there.
Maybe. As much of a have a nice day as a genuine.
Right.
You do.
Right.
Super genuine.
Yeah.
Somehow I'm okay with that response.
Yeah.
But not, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
No one says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said it one time accidentally when someone, like, toward the end of a group I was doing, they were like, thank you so much. And I was like, oh, it's my pleasure. And then I'm like,
I hate myself right now.
I was like, I take that back. It's not my pleasure.
I work here.
Yeah.
It's my job. Goodbye. Yeah.